Welcome to Asphalt Talk, a podcast by and for asphalt professionals. Join our expert hosts as they tackle real industry issues to pave a smoother way for asphalt suppliers and producers. This podcast is sponsored by MAPA, the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Founded to promote quality and accountability, MAPA has been serving the asphalt producers of Missouri since 1990. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor, May Create Design. Google Translate doesn't work for web designer to paving company translations. You say hot mix and it thinks you're talking about the latest snack craze. Wouldn't it be nice to work with a designer who knows the difference between binders and bitumen? Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. Visit maycreate.com. That's M-A-Y-E-create.com. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Asphalt Talk. I'm your host, Dale Williams, with Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Today, we're sitting down with Dr. Buzz Powell, the Technical Director of the Asphalt Pavement Alliance, to learn a little bit about the APA and how they are a resource to the asphalt industry in Missouri. Buzz, as always, it's great talking with you today, and I look forward to our discussion about the APA and your role in the newly created Technical Director position. But before we do that, let's spend a little bit of time getting to know about you and your history in the industry. So how long have you been with the APA? And you maybe tell us a little bit about what you did prior to joining the APA, because I know this is a fairly new role for you.
Well, it's great to be here, Dale. Always good to spend time with you. And I've been the technical director of the Asphalt Pavement Alliance since the 1st of November of 2023. So I'm pretty new in the role. And prior to that, for over 24 years, I had worked with the National Center for Asphalt Technology, primarily responsible for the NCAT pavement test track. So I was hired as NCAT's first test track manager in September of 1999, and was very blessed to have a long and fulfilling career working with the test track, building and rebuilding for 8 different research cycles, and applying, you know, roughly 80 million equivalent single axle loadings over all those years. So just hundreds of experimental pavements. It was a tremendous amount of experience. Prior to that, for the 2 years prior to that, I was in the private sector. And then back before that, I was with the Alabama Department of Transportation for 12 years. And one of the things that you may not know about me is I actually started out as a computer programmer, which is kind of an interesting bit of trivia. And so I helped the Alabama DOT to build their original pavement management system, the mainframe-based pavement management system. I was a programmer in that effort and worked very closely with the pavement management engineer who was one of my early mentors, and got way more interested in the engineering side of everything than I was in the programming side of everything. So I changed gears and started over effectively in college and found my calling, which was to be a civil engineer. And so I have not looked back since then. It's been a blessing to me. And, you know, I'm grateful to programming because it got me started into the career path that I was in. But I'm grateful that I found my niche, which was pavement infrastructure, roads and bridges. I did a lot of bridge construction in the early days with the department, but I was assistant testing engineer when I left the DOT to start the rest of my professional journey.
You know, it's always amazing to hear, you know, how people got into the asphalt industry. I think, you know, I go to colleges and I ask people, I say, how many people here want to work in the asphalt industry? And, you know, very few will shoot their hand up and say, you know, that's my career path. And I think that's true for most of us that are here, unless you were born into a family company or something. I think most of us had, you know, other ambitions. You know, I personally was going to be a structural engineer, and design bridges was my goal in life. And I spent about 5 minutes of my professional career with the DOT in design, not in the bridge section, just in the roadway design side. So I never even got close to what I thought I wanted to do, and been doing it now for almost 28 years now. And you talk about NCAT and the eight different cycles down there. I think you and I became acquainted, I believe it was the second cycle down there when MoDOT decided to get involved. And you and I crossed paths and built the first section for Missouri down there.
That's right. It was 2003. As you know, we have rebuilt every 3 years since that first track in 2000, and it was a lot of fun working with you on those original Missouri test sections, and I think we became fast friends through that process.
Yeah, it's been a great friendship, Buzz. And I have to believe, getting introduced to the SEC when I was down there is probably what brought my alma mater, Mizzou, into the SEC.
The joining the test track was, you heard it from Dale himself, joining the test was the starting point for Mizzou joining the SEC. That makes perfect sense when you think about it.
It has to be the right way, right?
That's exactly right. And on the career thing, it's funny because the reason why I sort of soured, one of the reasons why I soured on programming was that it just writing 20-page long programs was not something that was fulfilling to me, but I really enjoyed working with the payment management system and auto-generating the maps and the CAD files and everything that really was the precursor to modern GIS systems, back in that era. And so then when I graduated, the DOT moved me over to Geotech because they wanted to implement a new specification package with a new construction testing program for driven piles and bridge construction. So I enjoyed bridge construction, had a blast in bridge construction, but there was an accident on a project that I was on, and I sort of had a near death ex well, I very much had a near death experience. A big piece of equipment fell and almost landed on top of me, and I kind of made the decision right there. This is fun, but I need to do something else in the department. And that really was, so I went from payment management to Geotech, and then back over to pavements, sort of through that path. And it's funny because you look back and it your path makes perfect sense, and it sometimes going forward it's a little confounding, but you look back and you think, wow, God really had a plan for that. I ended up doing exactly what I was supposed to do.
So through all those twists and turns in your career, what's your favorite job you've ever had?
I have been blessed with really good jobs. Like I've that's one of the things I love about this my civil engineering journey is I had fun doing everything I was tasked to do, but I would say the absolute most fun that I've had has just been the test track, because it's such a, as you know this really well, but for the benefit of your listeners, it's such a diverse experience. I had spent the first part of my career focused just on Alabama materials and Alabama practices, and then just to get exposed to geologies from all over the country and specifications and practices and methods from all over the country, it was an incredible experience, and I'm very, very proud to be able to say, I was there for over 24 years, and there was not a single day where I thought to myself, man, I really don't want to go to work today. I was really excited to go to work every single day. And praise God for that. That was a great experience.
So, what do you like to do outside of work? Do you have any hobbies?
Well, I wouldn't really call it a hobby, but the thing that I'm the most passionate about outside of work, aside from my family, is I think this is correctional ministry. So I spend my Sundays volunteering at a state prison here in Alabama, and I'm our my I go to a multi-campus church, and so we have a whole bunch of locations in the free world, but we also have campus locations within departments of correction facilities, and so I'm the campus pastor at Kilby Correctional Facility in Montgomery, Alabama. And that's the outside of my family, that's the thing that I'm the most passionate about. I like to do a lot of things, and I have diverse hobbies. I have an old Corvette and I have an old houseboat, and I love to tinker and play, and I've got 21 acres of land to play with here with with a pond, and I love all that stuff because I grew up in the country and grew up as a gearhead, but I'm most passionate about correctional management.
Did you ever put any easels down with the Corvette on the track?
There were a few easels put down with the Corvette on the track. I do have to admit that. But you know, any rumors regarding the velocity at the time the easels were applied, I could neither confirm nor deny those rumors.
You may have a future in politics, Buzz. So what's one thing that most people in the asphalt industry don't know about you?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably that I started out as a computer programmer, you know, because that is so different than what I do now. But you know, again, like I said, looking backwards, everything makes perfect sense. So I started out in pavement management, and then you know, over like 12 years ago, we started doing pavement preservation research and looking at all aspects of asset management and pavement management. Most people don't know that I was a programmer. Another thing that people might not know about me is that before I went to work for the DOT, I was actually an apprentice butcher. Did you know that,
No, I did not.
Dave? Yeah, when I was 16, I went to work at a grocery store in Montgomery, Alabama. I grew up in Elmore County on a farm, but I had moved to Montgomery, Alabama when I was 15, and went to work at a grocery store and was there for 4 years, and had worked my way up and was an apprentice butcher, and was on my way to a career in the grocery business. And the store that I worked for sold out to another chain, and the company that I worked for wanted me to move to Florida and to stay. They wanted me to stay with them because I had a good future with them, but I didn't want to move. And so I left and ended up at the DOT, and the rest is history. So I could have been a butcher. That's probably the most obscure thing that nobody knows about me.
Well, that's I learned two new things about you today, Buzz, and we've known each other for 20 plus years, and I never knew those two things. So
That's pretty funny. That's
ne next time we're breaking bread, I'll ask you what the best cut of meat is
good. There you go. We can have a long conversation about that.
Let's switch gears a little bit and maybe talk about your new role with the APA. And maybe first off, might be able to help our audience understand a little bit of the history of the APA and, I guess maybe the redefining of the APA because you're in a brand new role with the APA as the technical director, and that's just something I don't believe has ever existed. So maybe give us a little bit of history there and tell us
Yeah,
about that.
I'd be happy to. As far as I know, I am the first technical director of the Asphalt Pavement Alliance, and the alliance actually started, depending on what your reference point for origin is, either in 1999 or 2000. I would say the effort to start it was in 99, but the formality of the origin was in 2000. So it's been around for about 25 years. And the original focus was marketing. It was all really about the you know pay, the marketplace of payment type selection and the desire to promote asphalt pavements. And so that rocked along for a very long time, like I said, for 25 years. And the mission has recently changed, as you know, and diversified just a little bit. And the leadership made the decision last year when Amy Miller, who was the previous executive director of the APA, when she made the decision to come back to Florida to run the Asphalt Contractors Association of Florida, then they had to decide, well, who are, you know, what are we going to do with leadership with the APA? And they decided to really split it into two positions and to have an executive director and a technical director. So I guess to back up a little bit, many people don't know the Asphalt Pavement Alliance is actually funded by the National Asphalt Pavement Association and all of the state asphalt pavement associations, the SAPAs, like your organization, Dale, and then the Asphalt Institute. So there are three, you know, groups of stakeholders for the APA, and of course the SAPAs themselves are a very, very diverse group. So there are a lot of stakeholders with the APA. And when the leadership, you know, the oversight group for the APA last year made the decision to create a technical director's decision, it was perfect timing for me, because I had, for the benefit of the listeners, you know, Alabama is a 25-year retirement state. Auburn is a state university. And so when you put my employment history together, I had 37 years and 0 months in a 25-year system. So I had made the difficult decision, you know, hey, I'm losing money to work. I need to go figure out, you know, what else I can do. And right about that time, that was when Amy Miller left the APA. They made the decision to create this technical director's position. And that was a perfect fit for me, Dale, as you know, because of all the really diverse things that we've done at the track. You know, I've sort of been on the cutting edge of a lot of things, you know, and on the leading edge of innovation, all different types of innovation with asphalt pavements in terms of mixing materials and pavement thickness design, and then also pavement preservation. So it was a perfect fit. And I've at the test track, I've always really coexisted in a fact-based manner between agencies and industry. So, you know, DOTs knew they could count on me to give them objective feedback on something that we had done at the track. And contractors also knew they could count on me to give them objective feedback, you know, on something we'd done at the track. And what I love about the technical director's position is that still is my role. You know, I tell people my job is not to convince people that asphalt is better. My job is to make asphalt better. You know, my job is to support and promote quality asphalt pavement. And I'm very, very excited about that, because it's a perfect fit for my really odd and diverse skill set that I developed at the test track.
So what are your priorities as the new technical director?
Well, the alliance, what I tell people, and I'm traveling around a lot right now, Dale, you know, because I did it for your meeting, and talking about sort of this new vision of the Asphalt Pavement Alliance that we've developed. Reed Ryan is our executive director now, and so have met, our team has met, and to kind of define who we are and what it is that we want to do. The very first thing I tell people is, in your market, seek first assistance and support from your SAPA, you know, which is you in your state, Dale. But then beyond that, I want to deploy effective resources directly to the marketplace. And I want to take this experience that I have as a data-driven quality person and strengthen fact-focused relationships between agencies and industry. Reed and our team has really kind of defined this as a three-tiered operation, and the three pillars, as we call them, is innovation, collaboration, and education. In doing that, really the focus is technical competence number one, and then trust. Those are the two things that I really want to focus on. And kind of the, you know, I tell people, when you get in an elevator with somebody, you should be able to tell them what you do between floors, you know, the elevator pitch, to answer a question. And my job, as I said earlier, is to support and promote quality asphalt pavement. That's what I do. And that's really the only thing that I do. And I'm extremely excited about that.
I know some of the biggest benefits that MAPA and our membership benefit is some of the resources provided by the APA. Can you tell us about some of the resources available?
Yeah, we have a web page that has some really good resources on it. It's driveasphalt.org. You know, NAPA's web page is asphaltpavement.org, and the APA's is driveasphalt.org. And there's a nice reference library of documents that you can find at that web address. And it's all about roads and parking lots and airports and tracks. You can find information for a lot of different things. What I get really excited about is what I get to do, and which is, you know, traveling around to the meetings in all the different states, and doing technical presentations on all different types of topics. We also do lunch and learns and webinars and conferences. So there's a lot of opportunity to do promotion of innovation and that type of thing. So there are a lot of activities. I'm getting to write a few papers. You know, there's a perpetual pavement conference this fall, in the fall of 2024. And I have a paper that I wrote and was accepted at that conference. And it's a good kind of a segue from my previous career to this career, because it's real, that paper is all about the diverse set of perpetual pavements, all the perpetual pavements that we've evaluated on the NCAP pavement test track. Because, you know, people think about thick pavements when that's the first thing that pops into your mind. But there are a lot of different ways to build a perpetual pavement. And what really turns my gears is the idea of value engineering projects, you know, meeting the specific needs of an individual roadway based on the ground conditions there and the traffic and the environment and all the particular circumstances of each and every road. And so, you know, I'm excited about that paper and getting to present it. So, that pretty much is the focus of my activities with the APA. But if someone has a project and they have some unusual needs on their project, I can provide technical support for that. If something went wrong and you need help trying to figure out maybe what, you know, why something happened, I have some useful forensic skills, but, you know, based on all the things that I've learned at the track. Matter of fact, I'm doing an education session at the World of Asphalt on pavement forensics, and it's a really kind of common sense approach to figuring out why something happened on the road, so you can, number one, correct it, and then number two, figure out how to prevent a recurrence of whatever it is that happened on it, you know. So those are the types of things that I'm working on, and I'm all, as I travel around and talk to groups, I'm also promoting Hey Napa, you know, and it's great that the APA has a website, but I'm very excited about Hey Napa because you can go to heynapa.com and for free just create your own username based on your email address, and you can ask it anything, and it goes out there. It actually has something like 1,000 reference documents, NCAT documents and NAPA documents and all different types of documents, and it crawls through all that stuff and uses some version of ChatGPT trained on those documents to give you technical answers to your questions. And the nice thing about that is it takes you directly to the source documents, so you don't have to search the APA website or the NAPA website or the NCAT website or the FHWA's asphalt pavement websites. Hey NAPA will take you straight to the documents that it answers your questions with. So that's, I think, one of the most powerful tools that we have in our industry that I'm really trying to coach people into using.
It's a really amazing tool, Buzz. I've utilized it. I've used some of the ChatGPT that's out there, and I think that the possibilities are limitless with how you can utilize the tool to, you know, find things you're looking for. It's just really amazing.
Yeah. But, and, you know, it's a hard, you know, for my generation, it's a hard thing to adapt to for some of us, because when you really enjoy what you do, you're not looking for ways to avoid tasks, because you sort of have fun doing the tasks, you know. But the way I describe ChatGPT is it's kind of like Google, but it's just a better, faster, more directed way to find the information that you need that will help you to engineer your projects in a more effective way. So it's not replacing your engineering skill set. It's supplementing your engineering skill set. You know, Sean Devine with XBE, who worked with NAPA to develop Hey Napa, you know, you've probably seen his presentations, and he says Hey Napa doesn't replace you, it makes you smarter. And I think that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah, we actually had Sean give an AI presentation at our conference back in January.
Yeah, it's fascinating, you know, and I don't think it's going to replace any of us, but it's going to help us to do a better job. So I'm excited about that.
So, Buzz, if you could go back and give your 18-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be?
I think that the one of the biggest issues I had, well, first of all, I guess I didn't, I made some mistakes as a teenager, made some bad decisions as a teenager, and at 18, I would really try hard to coach myself out of making some of those bad decisions. But in general, I think many of us in that part of our life, we were impatient. And those of us who worked hard and were ambitious, wanted to work our way into a better future. And I think the best thing that I would tell myself is, number one, make better decisions. But then number two, just be patient, work hard, be patient, and good things will come. And don't rush life, because life builds character, and life builds your knowledge base and your experience base, and that's the value that we provide to the marketplace. So you can't rush your way through that. You gotta, work in the trenches and learn the basics and work hard and have faith that there's a master plan, and just work your way into it and enjoy it and be grateful for it.
Great advice. So, as we wrap up here, you got any parting thoughts?
Well, I would just say, I guess that it's probably pretty obvious. I'm very excited about our industry, and our industry has been such a blessing to me. I'm really excited to give back, at this point in my career, and to kind of pour into other people and to just enjoy interfacing with our community. That some of the best advice that I would give to young engineers is if you enjoy what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. I always told my kids that, if you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do, it feels like a hobby that you get paid for, and I've been really blessed, because that's how my career has felt, and I'm really excited about taking some of the things that I've learned that might be useful to other people, and sort of pouring that back into an industry that's been such a blessing to me. And so I would encourage the young folks, there's tremendous opportunity in our industry. There's lots of workforce development opportunity out there because of the older folks like me that are kind of on the downhill side of our careers. And if you enjoy it, it can be an excellent career. It certainly has been for me. I think you probably would agree with me, Dale. It's been a good thing for both of us, and I'm just really excited about the future for the young folks that are out there that are just beginning their careers.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I feel like I started at MAPPA yesterday, and it's been 14 years almost already. So
Yeah, time
it's
flies, doesn't it?
time
Time flies.
flies, and I don't know that I feel like I've worked a day in my life, but I mean, I know we've put some days in, but I truly have enjoyed it. So Buzz, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, and I'm sure we'll see you hopefully at some future MAPPA conferences, and but I do appreciate you taking the time.
Sounds great, Dale. I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate our professional relationship that we've always had, and I look forward to seeing you in the future.
I just like to say thank you for listening to Asphalt Talk, the podcast by and for asphalt professionals. If you enjoyed listening and learned something, please leave us a review. Your review will help us connect with other professionals like yourself so we can keep the conversation going.
1992 called, they want their website back. Stop apologizing for your crappy site and stop working with that company who thinks Hot Mix is the latest snack craze. Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. And get a website that's not a gigantic pain in the you-know-what to build. Visit maycreate.com, that's maycreate.com, for a free consultation and quote. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.